feature, paleness, is doubly determined, owing to the fact that it is common to both persons. Dr. R., in my dream about my uncle, is a similar composite person. But here the dream image is prepared in still another manner. I have not united features peculiar to the one with features of the other, and thereby abridged the remembered image of each by certain features, but I have adopted the method employed by Galton in producing family portraits, by which he projects both pictures upon one another, whereupon the common features stand out in stronger relief, while those which do not coincide neutralize one another and become obscure in the picture. In the dream of my uncle, the blonde beard stands out in relief as an emphasized feature from the physiognomy, which belongs to two persons and which is therefore blurred. Furthermore, the beard contains an allusion to my father and to myself, which is made possible by its reference to the fact of growing gray. The construction of collective and composite persons is one of the chief resources of the activity of dream condensation. There will soon be an occasion for treating of this in another connection. The notion, dysentery, in the dream about the injection likewise has a manifold determination, on the one hand because of its paraphasic assonance with diphtheria, and on the other because of its reference to the patient, whom I have sent to the Orient, and whose hysteria has been wrongly recognized. The mention of propyls in the dream also proves to be an interesting case of condensation. Not propyls, but amyles were contained in the dream thoughts. One might think that here a simple displacement had occurred in the dream formation. And this is the case, but the displacement serves the purposes of condensation, as is shown by the following supplementary analysis. If I dwell for a moment upon the word propyls, its assonance to the word propyleum suggests itself to me. But the propyleum is to be found not only in Athens, but also in Munich. In the latter city I visited a friend the year before who was seriously ill, and the reference to him becomes unmistakable on account of trimethylamine, which follows closely upon propyls. I pass over the striking circumstance that here, as elsewhere in the analysis of dreams, associations of the most widely different values are employed for the establishment of thought connections as though they were equivalent, and I yield to the temptation to regard the process by which amyls in the dream thoughts are replaced by propyls as though it were plastic in the dream content. On the one hand is the chain of ideas about my friend Otto, who does not understand me, who thinks I am in the wrong, and who gives me the cordial that smells like amyls. On the other, the chain of ideas, connected with the first by contrast, about my friend William, who understands me and who would always think I was in the right, and to whom I am indebted so much valuable information about the chemistry of the sexual processes. Those characteristics of the associations centering about Otto, which ought particularly to attract my attention, are determined by the recent occasions which are responsible for the dream. Amyls belong to these elements so determined which are destined to get into the dream content. The group of associations William is distinctly vivified by the contrast to Otto, and the elements in it which correspond to those already excited in the Otto associations are thrown into relief. In this whole dream I am continually referring to a person who excites my displeasure, and to another person whom I can oppose to him or her at will, and I conjure up the friend as against the enemy, feature for feature. Thus amyls in the Otto group suggests recollections in the other group belonging to chemistry. Trimethylamine, which receives support from several quarters, finds its way into the dream content. Amyls, too, might have got into the dream content without undergoing change, but it yields to the influence of the William group of associations, owing to the fact that an element which is capable of furnishing a double determination for amyls is sought out from the whole range of recollections which the name William covers. The association propyls lies in the neighbourhood of amyls. Munich, with the propyleum, comes to meet amyls from the series of associations belonging to William. Both groups are united in propyls, propyleum. As though by a compromise, this intermediary element gets into the dream content. Here a common mean, which permits of a manifold determination, has been created. It thus becomes perfectly obvious that manifold determination must facilitate penetration into the dream content. A displacement of attention from what is really intended to something lying near in the associations has thoughtlessly taken place for the sake of this mean formation. The study of the injection dream has now enabled us to get some insight into the process of condensation which takes place in the formation of dreams. The selection of those elements which occur in the dream content more than once, the formation of the new unities, collective persons, composite images, and the construction of the common mean, these we have been able to recognize as details of the condensing process. The purpose which is served by condensation and the means by which it is brought about will be investigated when we come to study the psychic processes in the formation of dreams as a whole. Let us be content for the present with establishing dream condensation as an important relation between the dream thoughts and the dream content. The condensing activity of the dream becomes most tangible when it has selected words and names as its object. In general, words are often treated as things by the dream, and thus undergo the same combinations, displacements, and substitutions, and therefore also condensations, as ideas of things. The results of such dreams are comical and bizarre word formations. Upon one occasion, when a colleague had sent me one of his essays, in which he had, in my judgment, overestimated the value of a recent physiological discovery, and had expressed himself in extravagant terms, I dreamed the following night a sentence which obviously referred to this treatise. That is in true norectal style. The solution of this word formation at first gave me difficulties, though it was unquestionably formed as a parody after the pattern of the superlatives colossal, pyramidal. But to tell where it came from was not easy. At last the monster fell apart into the two names Nora and Ekdal from two well-known plays by Ibsen. I had previously read a newspaper essay on Ibsen by the same author, whose latest work I was thus criticizing in The Dream. 2. Given by translators, author's example could not be translated. One of my female patients dreams that a man with a light beard and a peculiar glittering eye is pointing to a signboard attached to a tree which reads, Euclamparia, wet. Analysis. The man was rather authoritative-looking, and his peculiar glittering eye at once recalled St. Paul's Cathedral, near Rome, where she saw in mosaics the popes that have so far ruled. One of the early popes had a golden eye. This was really an optical illusion which the guides usually call attention to. Further associations showed that the general physiognomy corresponded to her own clergyman, Pope, and the shape of the light beard recalled her doctor, myself, while the stature of the man in the dream recalled her father. All these persons stand in the same relation to her. They are all guiding and directing her course of life. On further questioning, the golden eye recalled gold, money, the rather expensive psychoanalytic treatment which gives her a great deal of concern. Gold, moreover,